Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes. We left off way back on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We are at Sha'alu, about 10-12 lines from where the lines first get wide. Sha'alu Esrav Lazar. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, also sponsored in memory of Tova Bas Ephraim Toby Snitow, Allah Shalom, by her family. Also sponsored by friends of Alicia and Daniela Graf, or the Chevra Dafyomi here, in honor of the recent marriage of Zahava Taroni Kupchik, and also sponsored anonymously in memory of Uncle Lester Friedman, I guess sponsored by Lester Friedman's nephew, in honor of his uncle Lester Friedman, Eliezer Tzvi Ben Avram, who learned Shas many times over and inspired his nephew to undertake Daf Yomi, and the Shem Shem Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to finish up the discussion about Mamzerim, and we're going to talk about whether Mamzerim can ever, there's ever a number of generations that can pass that Mamzerim are going to be Mutter, and whether Mamzerim will even survive long enough to be able to have that many generations where there's even a discussion whether they can be Mutter. And then the Gemara is going to have a long discussion about the history of the Nesinim, of how it came about that that David HaMelech was Gozer on the Nesinim, that there was a famine, and David tried to figure out the cause of the famine, and it took him a while, a few different guesses, till he figured it out, that it was because of something that Shaul had done, that he had done not right by the Givonim, and that they had asked revenge against certain descendants of Shaul. So we're going to see a lot of different ideas that come up in that context. The idea of Layum Suavos Albanim, and why this was an exception, the idea that there's an Isra of Halana Sameis, and why this was an exception to that, and why it is that David needed to be Gozer on the Nesinim after all. Wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu already Gozer on them? Wasn't Yoshua already Gozer on them? So that's going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis, and then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us a machlokas whether a Sris Chama does Yibum V'chalitza, meaning there's a chilik between a Sris Chama and a Sris Adam, someone who's naturally a Sris and someone who had some sort of event that made him a Sris. But a machlokas, which one would be subject to Yibum V'chalitza, which one would not be subject to Yibum Chalitza, that is a machlokas Tanaim. And then the Gemara is going to discuss that according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to have three possibilities of when it is that, even though Rabbi Akiva apparently holds a Sris Adam is Pata from Yibum Chalitza, because he's Chayav Elav, or should be Pata from Yibum Chalitza, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayav Elav are the same as Chayav Krisus. So there should be no Yibum Chalitza because he's Chayav Elav, and therefore there should be no Yibum Chalitza by Chayav Elav, according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara is going to give three possibilities how it could be that there's such a din of Yibum V'chalitza by Yisris Adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, if after all he's Chayav Elavin, which is the equivalent of Chayav Krisus. So let's begin again all the way back up on Daf Ayin Chesam Beis. We are at Shalus Reb Lazar. So Shalus Reb Lazar, Mamzeres Lachar Asar Dari Mahu. What do you do about a Mamzeres after 10 generations? Let me see a third generation Mamzer and I'll let you be Matirit. But his point was that you're never going to have a third generation mamzer, so there's no such thing as being matayra mamzer after a number of generations. Alma kasavra mamzera lo chayi. Apparently, he holds that a mamzer, Rabbi Lezer holds that a mamzer can never live. V'cheinam rafuna mamzera lo chayi, that will never really survive long enough to have so many descendants. V'anan t'nan mamzera nesun v'yisun nesur olam. But wait, our Mishnah says that the mamzer is aser no matter how many generations, but apparently the metzius is that a mamzer does live to produce descendants. So I'm Rabbi Zeru Lidim Farsh the Menader of Yehuda Diyadiyah Chayi Delo Yehudiyah Lo Chayi. That no, Rabbi Yehuda explained that if we know about the Mamzerus, then he can live, because we'll be careful not to mix in with the Mamzerim, because it's a known thing and everyone will know to be cautious of him. But if it's a Mamzerus that people do not widely know about, then Hashem will see to it that he's not going to live, so that he doesn't ruin the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. Diyadiyah Velo Yehudiyah, if some people know, some don't, and it's sort of somewhere in between, so then Atlas Adari Chayi, he'll live up until three generations of his family will survive, because people will still know that there are some rumors of Mamzerus, and they'll stay away from marrying into the family. But Tfei lo chayi, but more than three generations, they won't live, because by then we have to assume that people will have forgotten about the Mamzerus. And a Maisa that happened along these lines, the Rabbi Ami, there was a Mamzer that was in Rabbi Ami's neighborhood, Achrazle, the Mamzera, So Rabbi Ami announced that he was a mamzer. He let it be publicly known. Have a bachi vazel. So the person was crying. Why did you announce that I'm a mamzer? Now it's so embarrassing. Now I'm not going to be able to get married. So Rabbi Ami said, Chaim nesati lach. You shouldn't complain. I just gave you life. Hashem would have seen to it that you would die before you're ever able to get married or have children, because no one knew that you were a mamzer. But now that you're a mamzer, you'll do it. So now you'll be able to survive. Amar Rav Chana bar Ada, Nesinim David Gazralim. So now we switch the conversation to Nesinim, and this is going to be the conversation that takes us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Nesinim David Gazar Aleihem, Shenem Rav Yikra Melech Gavonim Bayomer Aleihem, that the Melech David said, tried to give to appease the Gavonim about the Avera that Shaul had done to them. Vagavonim Lobim Reisol Hema, and the pasuk goes on to say that he realized that the Gavonim are not mi Bnei Yisrael, that they're also Lava Bakal. He made it clear that they're also Lava Bakal. So my time of Gozer, what is the story behind these psukim? Why was David Gozer that they're not allowed to be Lava Bakal? Because the pasuk says Vayirav Bimei David Shal Shanim Shana Achar Shana, that there were three consecutive years of famine in the days of David. Shana Rishon Amar Lehem Shema Ovdei Avod Schav Miyesh Bechem. So the first year he tried to examine. He was doing a national cheshbon hanefesh. He was trying to examine why is there a famine. And he said maybe there are Ovdei Avod Zara among the Jewish people. That makes sense that would lead to a famine, because that's what it says in the Psukim. That's what it says in Kriyashma, that you're going to serve foreign gods, you're going to bow to these foreign gods, and then Hashem is going to withhold the heavens from providing rain. So, but they couldn't find any Avodah Zarah in the Jewish people. Shnia, so then the second year, Amar Lehem, David said to Klal Yisrael Shema, Ovri Aveira Yesh Bechem. Ovri Aveira, when it's just used as a general term, refers to Gilei Arayos. So he's saying, maybe you're violating Arayos. That there's not going to be Revivim or Malkosh, which are different types of rain, when there's Nus that's going on. So, but they examined, they investigated, they couldn't find any Gilei Arayos. Shlishis, the third year of famine, Amar Lehem, Shema Poskit Sag Bram Yish Bechem Veinosim. Maybe there are people that make make pledges to Tzedakah, and they don't follow through on their pledges. Tziv, Nesim Vruach V'Geshem Ayin, Ish Mishal B'Matzah Sheker. That when is there going to be Geshem Ayin? When is there not going to be any rain? When a person takes praise in Matas Sheker by announcing that he's committing to X amount of dollars and then not following through on it. So, but they couldn't find that there was that sin either. So, Amar Ein David Tali LB, when David HaMelech realized that there was no national sin to blame for the famine, he realized that it must be because of him, because when the melech sins, the whole country could be punished for the sins of the melech. So miyad mevakish shavus pnei Hashem. So right away he was mevakish pnei Hashem. Mayhi, what does it mean he's mevakish pnei Hashem? Amrei shlakish shal burim v'tumim. It means he asked the urim v'tumim. My mashma, how do you see that the words pnei Hashem mean that you asked the urim v'tumim? Amrei blazer asya pnei. It's a gzeir shav. It says pnei in both contexts. Ksiv hacha mevakish shavus pnei Hashem. Uksiv hasum v'shal Lifnei Hashem. So you see that the Urim V'Tumim is called Lifnei Hashem. So when it says Vayivakish David is Pnei Hashem, it means that he asked the Urim V'Tumim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what was the answer that the Urim V'Tumim gave? Why was there a famine? Vayomer Hashem El Shol Vel Beis Adam Malasher Hemis Esai Gevonim. That it's because the famine was because they killed the Gevonim. El Shaul Shalom Nispat Kalacha Vel Shol Shalom Nispat Kalacha. And also because Shaul was not Nispat Kalacha, that the Plishtim killed Shaul, they took his body and they put it in the Chumas Beis Shan, and the Anshei Yavish Gilad came and stole his body back, and they quickly buried him in secret, and he was never nispad the fikvodo. So Vel Beis Adam El Shar Hemis Agavonim. So V'Chayechem Vatzin B'Shal Shemis Agavonim. What was that first thing that Shaul killed the Gavonim? Where do we ever find that Shaul killed the Gavonim? No, he didn't kill the Gavonim. El Mitoch Sharag Novir Kohanim, but he did kill out the entire city of Novir Kohanim for harboring David, because David was on the run from Shaul, and David, the city of Novi HaKohanim, didn't know that David was on the run, and they supported David. So so Shaul killed out, based on the suggestion of Doeg, Shaul killed out the entire Novi HaKohanim. That's David speaks about this in Tehillim. It was always remarkable to me. In Tehillim, Perek Nun Beis is the chapter about Nov. Perek Nov is the chapter about Nov. So Novi HaKohanim, Shaul must speak Lamayim Umazon. And the Novi HaKohanim used to be the Givonim were the ones that would provide mayim u'mazon to the Novir Kohanim. So they were now out of a job because there were no more Kohanim to provide mayim u'mazon to. And because of that, it's as if malal avakasim kilu aragun. It's as if he killed the Gevonim themselves. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was the answer that he got from the Urim V'tum is a little bit difficult. The Gemara says that first he said the beginning is so ser the end because katava el shol shlo nisbet kalacha. The first response is why are you suffering like this because you weren't masped shol properly. But katava el shor hemis hagavonim. And then it says that Shaul did something terrible that he was hemis hagavonim. So in says Gemara, yeah, that's the derech that when a person is being blamed for his sins, that we also bring up his good deeds. Damrei shlakish may dechsiv bakshas Hashem kol anvei eretz hasher mishpato paalu. So basher mishpato sham paalo. At the time of mishpat, where we're done a person is being judged, we also mention paalo, his good things, the things that he's done, the righteous things that he's done. So when we're being judged for what Shaul had done improperly by killing the Gevonim, it also mentions the good things that he had done, and that's what we should have done. We should have been maspid him ka'alacha. So when David came to fix the problem that caused the famine, Amar David, so David said, okay, there are two issues that need to be addressed over here. Problem is, one of them cannot be addressed. So Shaul nafguluhu. Shaul is already gone. Tracy Archishasa. He's already dead for a long time. For a whole year. Rashi points out for a whole year, a lot more than a whole year. Lav dafka da karvelu tvasin shnin hu sharei sof shnosof shal David haya. This was at the end of David's life. It's already been 30 years that Shaul's been dead. Elfi shein derech chavul lispar acher yud beischadesh achshen skablu tanchum and alameis kadam moed katan. Nobody's saying that once it's past 12 months, then it's no longer proper to be maspid. At that point, it's not right to be maspid anymore. So he's saying the Shaul is gone for way more than 12 months, so it's not right. We're not going to be able to make up for the lack of hespedim. But the other issue that we could still do something about. So nesinim, the krenivin of haisinu, the nesinim, the people who descend from the gavonim, let's call them and let's try to get their mechila. Let's try to secure mechila from them. So he called the gavonim and he gave them divrei ritzui, ma'as alechem u'bama'echaper, uvarcho es nachlas Hashem. He davened that the famine should stop. So the Gemara says, the Gevonim said to him, "Ein kesef zav mishol v'imbeso. We're not suing anybody. We have no monetary claims of kesef zav against Shaul or his family. Ve'ein lanu ish, nor do we want to kill any regular Jewish people, from the nation at large. We're only interested in zaru shel Shaul. We wanted to find descendants of Shaul and seek vengeance against them. Give us 7 descendants of Shaul and we will hang them to Hashem." So for the L'shem Shemayim, to let it be known that Hashem has taken out has defended us for this terrible crime that was committed against us. So Shaul heard, David heard such a request. So Paisinu, he tried to say, "No, let me give you money instead. I'm going to kill 7 descendants of Shaul." So Vloma Paisu, they said, "No, we're not interested in money. We only want 7 descendants of Shaul." So Amar Shlosh Simanim Yeshbu Mazu. So David Amel said to himself, there are 3 telltale signs of what a Jew is. Harachmanim, Baishanim, Gomli Chasadim. The Jewish people are Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Gomli Chasadim. The Maral explains we inherited each of those midos from one of our avos. Rachamim is Yaakov Avinu, Vekel Shakai Yitin Lachem Rachamim. Midas Habusha is from Yitzchak, because Busha relates to Yira, and Yitzchak's midah was Yira, Vishpa Yaakov Bepachad of Yitzchak. And Gemilas Chasadim we got from Avram Avinu, Vishamu Derech Hashem Lassos Tzedakah. So midah of Avram is Chesed. So someone who has those 3 simanim, we know, emerges from these 3 avos. So Rachmanim, Dechsev Nasan Lucha Rachamim Richam Chavir Becha, that Moshe says to Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them midas harachamim, that they should be merachim el abrios. So that's one of the midos that we have. Baishanim d'chsiv bavur tia yiras al p'neichem, that they should have busha. Gom lechasadim d'chsiv l'man asher yitzaves banaves beso. And the pasuk continues, shamu derech Hashem lasos tzedako u'mishpat. So derech Hashem is gemilas chasadim. That's what the Mepharshim point out, that when it says l'man asher yitzaves banaves beso, v'shamu derech Hashem, which is a part of the pasuk the Gemara doesn't quote over here, but derech Hashem is a reference to gemilas chasadim, because that's what the Gemara says in Sota Daf Yedalid, where the Gemara says that is it possible that a person is able to be mustabek b'shchina? No, it means to holy chacher darko shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean to follow the derech of Hakadosh Baruch Hu? So mahu gomel chasad mafata, gomel chasad mahu mal b'sharum mafata mal b'sharumim. So we're supposed to follow the derech Hashem, do those chasadim that Hakadosh Baruch Hu does. Kol sheyesh b'shosh siman malalu ra'ui lidabek b'mazu. So David HaMelech, with this hair-raising request that the Gevonim made, that the Nesinim made, said to himself, anyone who has these three simanim, Rachmanim, Beshanim, and Gomelich Chasadim, should connect themselves to our nation. But the Gevonim didn't want to have any Rachmanos on Shaul, and to be Mochel, like David had asked, they don't deserve to be Nistabik be Yisrael. So he goes there, and Yisr Chasnus on the Nesinim at that time. That's where the Yisr Chasnus for the Nesinim kicked in at that point in time. The Anaf Yosef says that they didn't have all of the midos. They were not Rachmanim because they were not Merachim al Bnei Shaul. They were not Beishanim because they weren't embarrassed to even ask that as a request. That when David HaMelech was trying to give them money, they should have just taken it and said, and walked away. But they weren't embarrassed to push and say that we want to kill people. And they're not Gomel Chasadim because they were not Mevater on their own embarrassment after so many years. A Gomel Chesed would be Mevater after so many years. So they lacked all of these midos. So the Gemara tells us the Hemshech of what happened. So he took all of these descendants of Shaul and he gave them over to the Gevonim. So Maishnahani, so ask him, why Dafka these descendants? How did David choose which seven descendants of Shaul to give over to the Gevonim? So he passed them in front of the Aron. Kol Sha'aron Kolto Lemisa, Kol Sha'in Aron Kolto L'chaim, and the Aron Paskid, which ones are going to go Lemisa? And which ones are going to go l'chaim? The Ritva writes that those that were that were kol tama aron must have been chayv misa mitzal acher. They must have been chayv misa for some other thing that they had done. And then it's just that the aron determined that this would be the opportunity through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would fulfill that chayv misa that they had from some other tzad. The Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Kiddushin says that it wasn't l'fnei ha'aron, it was l'fnei ha'mizbeach. And anyone that the Mizbeach was kolto would be left alive. So in the Yifei Mara, the quote in the Anaf Yosef, he says that our Gemara assumes that the Aron is called it Lemisa because that's the nature of the Aron, that anyone who's Karavela Aron is Yumas, like by Uza, would die by having too much contact with the Aron. And the Levium, the Aron would wipe them out. But the Mizbeach has the opposite Mida, that it was Nilkat L'chaim. The Mizbeach was called the Rotzeach Bishkaga, that if someone was Rotzeach Bishkaga, he can't be killed by the Goel Adam if he goes to the Mizbech. So that's the question, whether David HaMelech went to the Aron or went to the Mizbech. What's the point? Is the key point that wherever he went, picked seven people to paskin lemisa, or is that the rest of the people to paskin lechayim? Okay, but wherever it was David HaMelech relied, just like he relied on the Urim V'Tumim to ask the original question of what happened, he relied on Simanim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to determine which seven people. So Masra V'Chanan Bar Katina, if B'nai Sha'ul were given over to, that David gave over to the Gevonim, were those that the Arun had determined, how could the Pasuk say, V'yachmal HaMelech al Mephiboshes ben Yohonas and ben Sha'ul, that David HaMelech had Rachmanus on Mephiboshes, the grandson of Sha'ul, the son of Yohonas, Shalohev. So the Gemara says, no, must be that he didn't put him in front of the Aron. He didn't put him up to stand trial by the Aron. But how could he do that? How could he not put Mephibosheth along with everybody else? How could he show such favoritism? No, must be that he did put him in front of the Aron, and the Aron paskin that he should die. And David davened, and then the Aron released him. So Vakati Masu Panim Yesh B'Dover. But still, why was he only doing that for Mephibosheth? Doesn't that look not nice that all the other descendants of Shaul he throws to the wolves and he has no problem giving them over to the Gevonim as soon as the Aron says so? And yet when it comes to Mephibosheth, when the Aron was going to say that he should die, so he's going to be Mevakish Rachamim. And by the way, if he's not going to die, that means someone else is going to die in his place, because there have to be seven people. So if you're not going to give Mephibosheth and you daven that he's going to be saved, so Elish Shabikish Rachamim Shlo Yikletenu HaAron. No, it's not that the Aron had already chosen him to die and then David daven that he shouldn't die. He was Mevakish Rachamim Chachamim Me'ikara that the Aron shouldn't be kolet him. The Iyun Yaakov points out, and that's not a violation of Nesias Panim, because that's not obvious. It's not obvious that he ever would have been chosen. No one knows that he ever would have been chosen. And the Iyun Yaakov suggests, you see from here, that you're allowed to daven for someone's Hatzlacha, even if you know that someone's Hatzlacha means someone else is not going to be Matzliach. Two people are vying for a position, let's say. So you're allowed to daven for one person to be Matzliach and to achieve that position, even though by definition that means that the other person is not going to get it. As long as it's not obvious that you're casting the other person aside, or that you're that it's an unfair advantage that one is getting, so you're allowed to daven that someone should be Masliach. And that's what David HaMelech did. So says Gemara, but wait, how could they kill the descendants of Shaul for the sin that Shaul did by killing out Novi Arkwanim? Vaksiv lo yumsu avos albanim? Doesn't the Pasuk say lo yumsu avos albanim and banim lo yumsu alavos ishbecheto yumasu? That people only die for their own sins? So Amrab Chibarab, Amrab Yochanan, Mutav Shetech Rosachs min HaTorah, Val Yizchal Hashem Shemayim for Esya. This was to prevent the terrible Chilul Hashem of such a crime going unpunished, so you're allowed to violate what it says in the Torah, in Osachas Min HaTorah. The Ritva and other Rishonim point out, it's not an Osachas, it's a Pasuk Shalim, it's a whole Pasuk in the Torah, but that's the same as Osachas, so you were allowed to violate what it says in the Torah in order that there not be a Chil Shem Shemayim. V'atikach Ritva Bas Ayas Hasak, so the Pasuk says that after the Bnei Shaul were hanged, so Ritva Bas Ayah, who was Eshes Shaul, took sackcloth, V'atateula Latzur, and she went to the mountain where they were hanging these bodies. Midchilas Katzir and Nitach Mayim Aleim and Hashemayim. From the bodies were hanging there from the days of Nisan until the rainy season. V'lo Nasna Of Hashemayim Lanuach Aleim Yomam V'chayas Hasad Alaylin. She protected the bodies. She didn't allow birds and other animals to go after these bodies and to eat up these bodies. So the Gemara says, wait a second, they were hanging there for 6 months. V'aksiv Lo Solin Of Lasso Aleit. Pasuk says, "Lo solin of lasa leitz." You're not allowed to leave bodies out. Some Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rishamin Yotzadik Mutav Shetakar Osachas Min HaTorah V'Iskad Hashem Shemayim B'Farasya. Better to be Oker No Osachas Min HaTorah in order to create the Kid Hashem Shemayim. This wasn't just not previously we said we're Oker Osachas Min HaTorah by letting children pay for their father's sins in order not to have a Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem would be if a terrible crime like killing out Novi Arkwanim goes unpunished. That would be a Chilul Hashem. Over here, Dafka by leaving the bodies out, that's a Kiddush Hashem. How is that a Kiddush Hashem by leaving the bodies out? So you have Shavim Omrim that people were passing by, they would say, Mativan Shalelu, why are there bodies hanging here? Halal B'nei Melachamim, and they would be told, oh, these are descendants of the royal family. Uma Asum, what did they do, that descendants of the royal family? Did they say, was it a mutiny? Did they try to overthrow their father? Like, what did they do to be hanged like this? So no, Pashtu Yidei B'Gerim Gerurim. They took advantage of Gerim Gerurim, of people who were not the high members of society, of Givonim, who took their parnasa from them, and they took away their parnasa. So Amru Ein Lecha Uma Shereili David Bakazu, and then people would say, "Wow, that's Klal Yisrael! What an unbelievable nation!" Uma Bnei Melachim Kach. If they even bring Bnei Melachim to justice, Bnei Adiot Osalachas Kama V'Kama, all the more so the expectation of behaving properly must be imposed on Bnei Adiot, on regular people. Uma Gerim Gurum Kach, and if they're there to defend the lowest members of society, Yisrael Alach. All the more so they'll be willing to defend regular members of society. So miyad nitavsu al Yisrael mea v'chamishim elef. Right away they had 150,000 new gerim that were inspired by this sight of the people hanging there. That was the that's how much of a kiddush Hashem Shemayim it was. Shneimar v'yilu Shlomo shiv melv nosi savlu shmona melv chalsev bahar. That Shlomo melv counted up to 70,000 plus 80,000 was 150,000 new gerim. So it says, maybe those 150,000 people were native Jews. How do you know the 150,000 people that Shlomo Melch was dealing with were Gerim? Lo Salka, that Shlomo Eved, that Shlomo would not have native Jews do the work of Avdus for him. So the fact that these people were Nosei Sabol, they were carrying loads and burdens, and they were Chotzvei Bahar, they were the people working and chiseling out the mountains, so that kind of blue-collar work he would only have Avadim do. V'dilma Dugzar B'alma, maybe these weren't Gerim, maybe they were just Stam, people that he hired. Elamei Hacha, V'yispar Shlomo Kala Anash Magirim Hashem Eretz Yisrael V'yimtzu Me'ev V'chamish Me'elef, They asked me, I'm Shivim Elef, Savul Shmon Elef Chosei Bahar. So you see, it's Mefurish in the Pasuk that these people were Gerim. So you see that there were 150,000 new Gerim. Well, wait a second. On Daf Ayin Vav, we already mentioned that they never added Gerim in the days of David and Shlomo. They were never Mekabel Gerim in the days of David and Shlomo. So I asked the Rashba, the Ritva, all the Rishonim, how could it be that there were 150,000 new Gerim here in the days of David and Shlomo? So he says, no, based in Mumcha were not Mekabel Gerim, but they didn't have Hediotos for Mekabel Gerim. Or the fact that they were not Mekabel Gerim, the Ritva says, maybe that was only Minastam, that they wouldn't be Mekabel Gerim, because they were nervous that the people were only Megayer because of the Pachar of Melchamas David, or in order to be Zochel L'Shulchan Melachim and to the Ashirus of Shlomo. But those that it's obvious were doing so L'Shem Shemayim because they were inspired, they were Mekabel such Gerim. So since this was based on the inspiration of the bodies that were hanging there, and how we come to the defense of those who are defenseless, that's something that was worth being Mekabel Gerim for. When Nesinim, David Gazra Aleim, so frankly, Gemara, wait a second, was David the one that was the Gozer on the Nesinim? Moshe Gazra Aleim. In the days of Moshe, they were among the seven nations that tried to sneakily convert, and after he realized that they were among the seven nations, he was Gozer Avdus on them. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Mechotiv Eitzecha Ad Shoiv Meimecha. So among the Chotiv Eitzim, you see that they were not part of Klal Yisrael, and they weren't part of Gerim either. They were Avadim. So even before the Gezerah of David, there was an Isra of Chitun, there was an Isra from the Gezerah of Moshe Rabbeinu not to marry into them. So it says, no, Moshe Gazer Lahu Dara. Moshe was only Gozer in that generation. David goes with the Kule Dara. David added that the Gezerah applies to all generations. Frankly, Gemara Vakati, Yoshua Gazer Alayhu. Still, you didn't need David because Yoshua prior to David was already Gozer for all the generations. Yoshua made the Gevonim by Yom Uchot Ve'etzim Shavim Mayim Le'edel Mizvach Hashem. He was Gozer even for future generations that the Gevonim should be Chot Ve'etzim, should be wood choppers and water carriers. So even before David, what did David contribute? So it says more, Yoshua Gazer Bizman Shabes HaMikdash Kayim. Yoshua was Gozer that as long as there was a base of Migdash to be Shoev Mayim and Chotev Eitzim 4, that's when the Givonim were going to do those jobs and had an Isra Chitun. David Gozer Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. David was Gozer for when there was no base of Migdash around, that even after the Churban HaBayis, that they should still be, they should forever be Chotev Eitzim V'Shoev Mayim. V'Yimei Rebbe Bikshu Lahatir Nesinim, and the days of Rebbe, he wanted to be Matir the Nesinim. Amalam Rebbe Chalkeinu Natir. Rebbe said, our Chalek that we have in the Avodah, the Nesinim would be Matir. But Chelek Mizbeach miyatir. The Avodah that the Nesinim do from the Mizbeach, we don't have the right to be Matir, and therefore the Isra has to remain in place. Upliyad Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and that's against Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Dom Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Chelek Eidel Yola Masr, the Chelek of Avdus that the Nesinim have for the rest of us, that's always going to be Asr until the Beis Din is Matir, such a Chelek. But Chelek Mizbeach, Bizvat Shabisim Shkayim Masr, and Bizvat Shkayim Shari, whatever Avodah they owe to the Mizbeach, that only applies when there actually is a Mizbeach. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you don't need to be Matir that. So that's against Rebbe, because Rebbe said, we can't be Matir Chelek HaMizbeach. There was no Beis HaMikdash in the times of Rebbe, and he still felt that the Chelek HaMizbeach was binding. Okay, period. That's the end of the discussion about the Nesinim. Now, new Mishnah. Amar Bishwa Shamati, Shasris Chalitz, V'Cholzin L'Ishto, V'Asris Lo Chalitz, V'Lo Cholzin L'Ishto, V'Eni the Farish. He says, I heard two conflicting traditions about the role of a Sris and Chalitza. One tradition I have is that a Sris does Chalitza. If the surviving brother is Sris, he does Chalitza. And a Cholzin L'Ishto, that if a Sris dies, we do Chalitza on his wife. And the other tradition I heard is that a Sris, if he's the surviving brother, does not do Chalitza. And that if the Sris is the guy who died, we don't do Chalitza on his wife. Some Rabbi Akiva, Ani Afarish, I'll explain the Chilik. Sris Adam, Chalitz V'Cholzin L'Ishto. If someone became a Sris later in life, something happened, he had some sort of accident, so then will be Chalitz, then he is subject to Chalitza, whether he's the brother who died or he's the surviving brother. The Meiri points out, Sris Adam doesn't necessarily mean that it was a person that did it to him, it's just something that happened after he was born. It could have been Al Yidei Choli, or a dog attacked him, or an animal attacked him, whatever. If he became a Sris at some point in life, so then he is subject to Chalitza, but Bnei Shaisel Shasa Kosher, because at some point in life he had a Shasa Kosher, he had a time where he was a regular person, so the mitzvah is not Nifka Mimenu. As a person, he's a Ra'ui for the mitzvah, but a Sris Chama, someone who is a Sris Chama, who was born that way, Lo Chalitza, Lo Chalitza Lishta, we don't do Chalitza he doesn't get to do chalitza, nor do we do chalitza for his wife, meshalo haisalo shasa kosher, because he never had a moment where he wasn't a Swiss. Why is someone who's born a Swiss called a Swiss chama? What does it have to do with the chama? So the Gemara in Pei Amud Aleph says Swiss chama becomes a Swiss because when his mother was pregnant, she was baking in an oven, b'chom ayom, or she was shosa sheikha b'chom ayom, so because it was b'chom ayom that she did these activities that caused him to become a Swiss, that his pregnant mother did these things, so that's why he's called a Swiss. Chama. That's what the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, Simul Kofai in Beis. The Rambam and the Bar Tanur in their Perushim on the Mishnayis say that Chama is a lashon of that he was never Roa Pnei Chama at a time that he wasn't a Swiss, meaning he never saw daylight when he wasn't a Swiss, because by the time he was born, he was already a Swiss. So, okay, so whatever the logic is as to why we give him this name, but that's what a Swiss Chama means, someone who was born a Swiss. So that is Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that someone who was ever not a Swiss is subject to Chalitza. Someone who was never not a Swiss is not subject to Chalitza. Comes along Rabbi Elazar Omer Loki, that I say the exact opposite. El Swiss Chama Cholitz V'Cholz Lishto. Someone who was born a Swiss is subject to Chalitza Neshiyesh L'Rafua, because he can have a Rafua. But Swiss Adam Lo Cholitz V'Cholz Lishto. But someone who's a Swiss Adam, he doesn't do Chalitza, nor do we do Chalitza on his wife Meshein L'Rafua, because he has no Rafua from being a Swiss Adam. Meaning some accident that happened to him that physically he was damaged. So that's not something that could be fixed. But someone who was born with Siman Yisrael, maybe that could still be cured. Hey, Rabbi Shimon Mesera al Ben Megusas Shoyb Yerushalayim Swiss Adam. He was made about a person named Ben Megusas who lived in Yerushalayim, who was a Swiss Adam. V'yibumu es ishto. And when he died, they did yibum and his wife. So the kaim of Rabbi Akiva, that's a riot to Rabbi Akiva, that a Swiss Adam is subject to chalitza and therefore subject to yibum. In fact, the Rishonim all paskin like Rabbi Akiva, the Rif and the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch and Simul Kofai in Beis, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So the Rivash writes in the Tshuva and the Gra quotes it in the Bir Agra and Shulchan Aruch that there are three reasons why we paskin like Rabbi Akiva over here. Number one is that the Bar Pluk of Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. So we never paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, either because he was from the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai or because he was put in Chayrim at some point. So we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer no matter what. Number two, Rabbi Shimon Maseira brought an Eidus like Rabbi Akiva. It was, hey, Rabbi Shimon Maseira, about Ben Magusas, that this person, we followed the Psak of Rabbi Akiva. And number three, it's Machlokas Fachar Kachstam, the Gemara's Medayik from the Hemshech of the Mishnah, that a Swiss is not Cholitz, and same by an Islandist, that Swiss Dum Yudah Islandist, which must be Bidei Shemayim. That just meaning, since the Mishnah goes on to compare a Swiss to an Islandist, and an Islandist is always Bidei Shemayim, so because it just means that she never physically matures, so a Swiss is also Bidei Shemayim. That's the kind of Swiss, when it's Bidei Shemayim, when he was born that way, that is not subject to chalitza. But a Swiss Adam is subject to chalitza. So it says in Mishnah, Swiss lo chalitza lo miyamim, v'chein islandis lo chalitza lo misyabemes. There's the line, right? That a Swiss and an islandis are both not subject to chalitza or yibum. Has Swiss shechalitza lo yivim to lo pasla. Not only that, if a Swiss does chalitza, the woman does not become a chalitza. She doesn't become a surah lekohen because the chalitza didn't count because there was no need for chalitza. Ba'ala, if he's ba'al her, pasla, he does pasla lekuna, mnei she bilas nus, because that's a bia, that's an isser kares, it's a bias nus, there was no mitzvah yibum, and he's just having bia with his sister-in-law. V'chein islandis, and the same when it comes to an islandis, shecholtzula achin, if one of the brothers of the deceased husband is chalitzer, lo pasla, doesn't pasla lekuna, because it's not a chalitza, she didn't require a chalitza. But ba'aluha, if one of the surviving brothers is boel her, so then pasulam, they should be less and less nus. It does pasul lakuna, because that bia is considered to be a bias nus. So michti, shamina Rabbi Kiva, damar chayavi lavin, chayavi krisis. Ask the Gemara, wait a second. Rabbi Kiva is the one that holds that chayavi lavin always have the same status of chayavi krisis damu. They always have the same status as chayavi krisis. He holds that there's no tfisas kiddushin by chayavi lavin, that it creates mamzerus by chayavi lavin. They chayavi lavin have the same status of chayavi krisis. The halacha is that women who are chayavi krisos are not chayiv in chalitza and yibum at all. So women who are chayavi lavin, according to Rabbi Akiva, should also not be subject to chalitza or yibum at all. So why does Rabbi Kiva say that a Sris Adam is Choletz? After all, a Sris is an Isra of Patsua Daka, so it's Chayav Elavin. So how could you do Chalitza by a Sris Adam, according to Rabbi Akiva? There should never be Chalitza, it's Chayav Elavin. So the Gemara is going to have three approaches to answering why Rabbi Akiva thinks that there's such a thing as Chalitza by a Sris Adam. After all, isn't he Chayav Elavin, when there's no Tfis Kiddushin, and therefore there's no Chiv of Yibim Chalitza? So answer number one, number Rabbi Yami Yachamai Eskin, go Shinasa Achiv Giyora. Maybe the case is that she's a Gioras. So it's not Chayav Elavim. Yes, he's a Patsua Daka, but he's allowed to marry a Gioras because Kal Gerim is Loa Krikal. Rabbi Kiva Savalak Rabbi Yossi, Dabar Kal Gerim Loa Krikal. Rabbi Kiva holds that a Patsua Daka is not allowed to be Lovo Bekal, the Torah says, but a Gerim are not considered Kahal, and therefore Patsua Daka is allowed to marry a Ger. So the woman is a Gioras. Iachi, if that's the case, says Gemara, Yibumi Nami Miyabim. If she was a Gioras, why can't she even do Yibum? So says Mari Enochinami, I did Amar B'shua Choletz, Amar Yunami Choletz, Enochinami, Rabbi Akiva would say you could do Yibum. But since Rabbi Yeshua sort of set the tone by using the term Choletz, so Rabbi Akiva says also the term Choletz, but according to Rabbi Akiva, Enochinami, you could do Yibum, since she's a Gioras, and there's no Isser of a Patsua Daka, so Sris Chama can do Yibum as well. Take Anami, and there's a diuk that the Lashon Rabbi Akiva of Choletz is Lav Dafka, and he really means Yibum as well. It's not to be memait yibum to katani, because the Hamshik of the Mishnah says, "Hey, Rabbi Yishuv ben Miseira al ben Megusas shayu biYerushalayim Sris Adam, that there was this fellow in Yerushalayim and he was Sris Adam v'yibmu as ishto lekayim de Rabbi Akiva, and there were miyabim his wife to, and that's in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. So you see, the Rabbi Akiva holds not only when a Sris dies, does his wife, if he was married to Gioras, can you do Chalitza? He holds you could even do Yibum on his wife. So Shema Mina. So you see very clearly that is in fact Shitas Rabbi Akiva. But says Gemara, we're not sure that that's the case of the Mishnah. The case is that the woman is Dafka Gioras, and a Sris Adam when Rabbi Akiva says you do Chalitza on the wife of a Sris Adam, it really means only if she's a Gioras, that there's no Isser Bia. Masav Rabba. Rabba challenges that. We find that Rabbi Akiva holds you do Chalitza even when there is an Isser Bia, because the Brisa says Patsua Daka or Krus Shavcha Usris Adam. You have all these people, Vazakin, or a person who's elderly and is not going to be able to have children. O Cholzin, O Miyabin. You can still do Chalitza or Yibum. Ketzad, Mesu. If the Patsua Daka or Krus Shavcha or Sris Zakin dies and they don't have any children, Vilhem Nashim, but they did leave a wife behind. Vilhem Achin, and they did leave brothers behind. Vamdu Achin Vasum Maimur, and the brother Benash Sein, and one of the brothers does Maimur on the wife of the deceased, Menasnu get, or gives a get to the Zika, to address the Zika that he has with the wife of the deceased, Osha Chaltzu, or they do Chalitza, Masha Asu Asu, it counts as a real Chalitza. If he did Maimur, he's going to need a get for the Maimur. If he gave a get, she's going to be Asura B'Yibum. V'imbalu, and if they do Yibum Kanu, then it's Kona as a real Yibum. Mesu Achin, if the brothers of the Patsua Dako or Khrushchev or Sris Zakin die, and so the woman is Nafal Yibum, Lefnei Patsua Dako or Khrushchev or Sris Zakin, meaning those are the only surviving brothers. V'amdu Hain Vasu Maimur Nasha Sein, and the Patsua Dako or Khrushchev or Zakin do Maimur on the wife of the Yavama, v'nasnu get, and they give a get, or chaltzur, they do chalitza masha asu, asu counts as a chalitza v'imbalu, and if they do bia kanu, they were kona through yibum. So, but v'asu l'kaimen, but they're not allowed to stay married, mishum shem liyavu p'tzor daka v'shavka v'kal Hashem, because you have an isra p'tzor daka. So it sounds like we're talking about a case where there is an Isser, meaning she's not a Gioras, there is an Isser of Kal Hashem, and nevertheless, still the Chalitza counts, and you're allowed to do, it's a situation that calls for Chalitza. So Elam Rabba, second possible explanation for Rabbi Akiva. The case is that the guy became a Tzuadaka after she was Nafla Yibum. So the mitzvah of Yibum preceded the Isser of Tzuadaka, and that's why she requires Yibum for Chalitza. Amle Abayis, says, but when the Yisra of Patsua Daka is Chal, shouldn't that push away the Yibum? After all, Milo Tanan, don't we have a Mishnah that talks about where two brothers are married two sisters, but one of the sisters is a Katana, where Gamliel Omer in Miana, that if the Katana does a Miyun on the Nisuin, so fine, so then let her husband do Yibum or Chalitza on the sister who was really married to the deceased brother. Vimlav, and if she doesn't do Miyun, Tamtanat Shtagdu, wait till the Katana gets gets older, and then Tetzi Mishum Achos Isha, and then the other woman won't need a Yibum Chalitza, because now the Isra of Achos Ishto is Doche, the Mitzvah of Yibum, because now the marriage to the Ketana is going to become real once she becomes a Gedola, and that will therefore be Doche, the original Mitzvah of Yibum. But what do you see? You see that something can come in later and push away the Mitzvah of Yibum. Alma Asi Yisra Achos Isha V'dachi. So Hachanami, over here also we should say Nese Yisra Petzua V'nidchi. Don't tell me that you could solve the problem by saying the guy became a Petzua Daka later. Even if he becomes a Petzua Daka later, that should push away the previous Mitzvah of Yibum. Ela Amar Rav Yosef, a third possibility how to explain Rabbi Akiva. Haitana Hachtana Deber Rabbi Akiva Da Amar Mechayav El Desher Havi Mamzer Mechayav El Greedy Lavi Mamzer. When does Rabbi Akiva say that Chayav Elavin are considered the Chayav Krisos? That's when it's those Chayav Elavin that relate to Kurva, that relate to being a relative. That's where there's no Tfisos Kiddushin. But Stam Chayav Elavin, like a Patsua Daka, that's got nothing to do with Kurva, that's got nothing to do with being a relative, that doesn't pater you from Yibum Chalitza, because that's not going to be considered to be the equivalent of Chayav Krisos. So that's the says Gemara Ikri Kal Mahakim Lachav Shame V'Halav Bar Hachiyu. But wait, that isn't the whole point of Yibum to be Lahakim Lachav Shame? But the guy is a Petzua Daka, he can't be Lahakim Lachav Shame. So Rabbi Imkain Ein Lachayisha Shekshir Liyavim Shalnasa Balas Ris Kama Sha. So, but if that were the case, then you would never do Yibum, because everyone the moment before they die is a Sris, because they're not going to be able to have children. So the Rav Lazar, Piruka Derava Pirchihi, according to Rav Lazar, that an Eisha Sris doesn't require Yibum, that's a real problem for Rav Lazar, because every person right before they die is a Sris. So it says, no, Hasam Chshusa Dischilabeg, that's just weakness setting in, it doesn't count as being a real Sris. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from the very bottom of the page, we're finally caught up, we'll pick up Be'ez Hashem tomorrow from the very bottom of the page. Good day, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you.
I'm going to charm you in a hotel room, it looks like. Okay. Amen.